Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 and 1H FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Adani Energy Solutions Limited. From the AESL side, we have the following on the call as main speakers: Mr. Kandarp Patel, CEO AESL; Mr. Kunjal Mehta, CFO AESL; Mr. Kapil Sharma, Business Head Transmission; Mr. Pushpendra Zala, Business Head Smart Metering; Mr. Bhaskar Sarkar, Business Head Cooling Solutions; Mr. Anupam Mishra, Head Group Corporate Finance; Mr. Vijil Jain, Head IR AESL. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijil Jain from AESL. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Jain.
Thank you so much. Hello everyone. Warm welcome to the Q2 FY26 call. I hope you got a chance to go through the earnings material which was uploaded on the website and was also sent personally. Just to explain the flow of the call, we will start with an opening statement from the CEO, followed by questions and answers, and of course, closing remarks from the CFO. In case you have any questions, please feel free to start joining in the question queue so that we can better manage the Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, KP sir, for the opening statement.
Good morning, and thank you to all investors and analysts for joining this Q2 call of Adani Energy Solutions Limited. Before I hand over to Kunjal for giving a quarterly operational and financial update and half-yearly update, I wanted to touch upon two, three points, important points. Those are essentially in relation to outlook, market, business, and sector outlook. So we currently have about 60,000 crores of order pipeline for transmission projects. Similarly, we have total 26,000 crores of revenue and 14,000 crores of CapEx of smart metering. And distribution, we do every year about 1,600-1,800 crores of CapEx. In the first half, you might not have seen very significant uptake in EBITDA, though it's a fairly good number, but the major contribution will come from second half because we are poised to commission at least three transmission projects, which will be of the order of 12,000 crores. Similarly, we will do the CapEx in distribution. Normally, distribution CapEx happens in the second quarter, so you'll see a lot of movement in distribution CapEx as well, and that gets capitalized immediately because that's the nature of CapEx. It's basically a maintenance CapEx. Similarly, in smart metering, we have gathered a good amount of momentum. We have so far installed about 42.5 lakh meters in the first half, and we will cross 1 crore meter installation by end of year. So all in all, we will capitalize about 17,000-18,000 crore of CapEx, which will contribute about 2,800 crore of EBITDA on an annual basis. So you will see those numbers flowing in the next half year. And similar kind of numbers will continue with a growth every year for at least three, four years based on the order pipeline that we have. The other important thing that I wanted to highlight was there are two exceptional items in the financials. One, last year we had a DANU, so when you compare the distribution business profitability and EBITDA, the DANU was included. This year it is not there. The contribution of DANU EBITDA was about 92 crore. Similarly, in AESL profit, there was a one-time exceptional item last year of deferred tax of about 314 crore, which is not in the current first half. So when you compare, you kindly take care of that detail as well. Over to you, Poonja.
Sure. So just giving you certain key highlights of the business for the quarter two or for the first half year, followed by certain key updates on the financial front. So in the first half of FY 2026, we successfully commissioned three transmission projects, which is Khavda Phase 2, Part A, Khavda Pooling Station, which we call as KPS 1 Pooling Station, and the Sango Transmission Line. All these three were completed during the first half. With the recent project wins, now the company has a transmission ordering construction pipeline at about 60,000 odd crores, and with a smart meter order book of 2.46 crores, which has a revenue potential of 29,000 crores. On smart meter business, our installation or deployment of the smart metering continues. And today now we have reached a total of 73 lakh meters, which have been installed. Our Mumbai utility, that is AEML, continues to generate surplus. And based on that surplus, we continue to deliver the balance sheet of AEML. During the last quarter, we bought back $44 million of the USD dollar bonds. This is in line with our efforts to reduce our cost of capital and increase the debt maturity, which is currently 7.5 years. On the CapEx front, we have delivered a consolidated CapEx of 5,976 crores in the first half, which is 1.4% increase over the previous financial year. Further, on the O&M part of the transmission business, our availability continues to be very robust, which is 99.7% in the first half year, and basis which we have earned an incentive income of 30 crores in the Q2 and 59 crores in the first year, which is in line with what we have always earned basis the availability parameters in the transmission business. In the distribution business, our distribution losses in AEML continues to be the best in class, and we have reported the lowest distribution loss of 4.30% in the first half of FY 2026. Because of the prolonged monsoon in the city of Mumbai, the energy sales or the energy consumption has a modest increase of 2% over the previous year. In the C&I business, that business continues to provide power solutions to various consumers. Today, both our Adani portfolio companies as well as with the external consumers, we have an aggregate load demand of currently of around 717 megawatts, which we are going to service to the C&I consumers. Similarly, our cooling solutions also is getting some traction, whereby we are deploying India's largest district cooling facility in the Mundra region. And we are also supplying to the or deploying cooling solutions for our various external consumers. We are currently total implementing about 88,000 tons of refrigeration in the cooling capacity. In terms of the financial update, the total income rose to 13,793 crores, which is a 16% growth over the previous half year, largely due to stable operating performance in transmission and the distribution business and the increasing contribution from the smart meter business. Our total EBITDA, that is the consolidated EBITDA, has increased to 4,144 crores, which is a 13% increase on a year-on-year basis. Our consolidated PBT has grown to 1,404 crores, which is 34% increase over the previous year. If you adjust the one-time MAT credit or the reversal of the deferred tax liability, which was there in the previous year, which is of about 314 crores, our adjusted PAT has grown to 557 crores or 1,096 crores. For the first half year, which is a 42% increase over the previous financial year. So I would repeat is that if you exclude the one-time deferred tax reversal or the MAT credit reversal, which was there in the previous year, our adjusted PAT has grown 42% in the first half to 1,096 crores. I thought that's the key things which is there. So in terms of the business outlook, the sector continues to present strong growth potential, both in the transmission business as well as in the distribution business, backed by stable regulatory regimes and the continuous reforms that we are seeing in the sector. I'll pause here in case we can now open the floor for the Q&A from everyone.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Mohit with ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the transmission pipeline. I think you mentioned 96,000 crore in the press release. Does it include both the HVDC, Khavda-Olpad, and there is a one South Kalam, or this is excluding both these HVDCs?
So it is excluding Olpad, but including South Kalam.
And so any update on the Olpad which you like to share? What is the status?
So Olpad, So Olpad reverse auction happened. We were L1 and we are expecting a response from PFC. So probably it was because of holidays, but now we expect a response from PFC in the current way.
Understood. So my second question is on the smart meter. I think last year there had been no bidding in the first half, right? And there was one Tamil Nadu bid which was pending. And also in the press release you're talking about 104 million smart meter which is still pending. So have you seen an improvement in the tender bidding, or are there any other bid apart from Tamil Nadu which is up for tendering? And what is the status of Tamil Nadu bid?
So Tamil Nadu bid submission was concluded. The technical evaluation is going on. The other bids, especially Telangana and Karnataka, because they will have to get their metering program approved under RDSS. Earlier, they never submitted that proposal. I believe that they have now submitted it and it is under approval. So the moment that approval comes in, then they will come out with a bidding.
So is it right understanding that earlier Karnataka was trying to do something on their own and now they are trying to get it under RDSS? Is that right?
Correct.
Understood. My last question, sir, on the commissioning pipeline for transmission. I think we're expecting only especially HVDC to get commissioned by October. Are we in general, are you facing some kind of constraint or some kind of issues in general in the industry, maybe right of ways, blah, blah, blah? Can you just throw some light on that?
So the right of way...
In general, right.
So the right of way and availability of skilled manpower is the problem. But what we, as I explained in the last call as well, we do a little different approach as far as right-of-way is concerned. While we use the government machinery and the power available under Section 68 and 164, but we also directly negotiate with the farmer and we run that process parallelly. As far as manpower is concerned, so now we have developed that kind of relationship with those EPC players. You must have seen that we work with a few chosen EPC players. And this year we have taken a very unique initiative. We have started our training facility. It is going online from 1st of November this year. We'll be training about 1,200 people for transmission line erection. And with that, all our requirements should be met. In fact, we will train those people and give it to our EPC partners.
Understood, sir. Any clear on the HVDC project commissioning date, sir? Timeline? Is it December 25?
HVDC is all going perfectly all right. All approvals are there. All ROW issues sorted out. The critical work which is going on is underground cabling on that Vashi Creek. And we expect that to get commissioned somewhere in December or January.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Manish Somaiya with Cantor Fitzgerald. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, Manish, good morning.
A couple of questions, KP and Kunjal. Can you elaborate on parallel licensing opportunities beyond Mumbai? What circles are you targeting, and what's the competitive landscape? That's question number one.
Yeah. Manish, we as AESL are open for both the routes of expanding into distribution, which is either privatization or parallel license. We applied for parallel license for Navi Mumbai, Mundra area, as well as Ghaziabad and Jewar district in UP. The regulatory process for Navi Mumbai and Mundra part is over. We are expecting order from regulatory commission very soon because all those proceeding has been done. We expect some movement on parallel license from these two geographies. And as far as competition and parallel license is concerned, parallel license is open for anyone. But in Mundra, nobody else has applied. In Navi Mumbai, the other players has also applied, but their process has just initiated. And practically, I believe that once you have two distribution companies, I think interest by a third distribution company will reduce significantly in particular geography.
Okay, that's helpful. And then just turning to smart metering, I did see that the installation rate was down this quarter sequentially. Maybe if you can just quickly touch on that, and I'm not sure if it was because of the monsoons or the availability of talent in the field, but just on a big picture basis, you outlined a very significant untapped opportunity for smart meter in the country. So maybe if you can just kind of help us understand the addressable opportunity for AESL over the next 3 to 5 years. And, you know, from a market share perspective, what would be the constraints?
So, Manish, you are right. The installation rate reduced in the last quarter as compared to the quarter one. But essentially, that was because of ugly rain continuing even till now. And geographies like Maharashtra, Uttarakhand, Assam, and even Bihar this year witnessed a lot of rain that impacted the progress. But now we are catching up again. We have already reached to 20,000 installation as of now. We want to push it up to 30,000 installation per day. All the resources are lined up accordingly, and all the materials and manpower is available for achieving 30,000. As far as addressable market is concerned, there is about 10 crore smart metering opportunity that we think that will come in a year or so, essentially from Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Telangana, Madhya Pradesh, and Punjab. These are the main geography from where we expect smart metering opportunity to come.
And just lastly, KP, just on that, what do you think your share constraints might be. It seems to me that on the ground, your share is probably running higher than what you sort of realized in the initial go-round. So maybe if you can just touch on that and then...
Yeah,
go ahead.
So Manish, our market share is about 18-19% in terms of order, but our installation market share is about 23-24%, and we will continue to have that kind of better installation rate as compared to all other players. And as we add new geography, probably we will be able to increase both market share in terms of contract as well as in terms of installation.
Okay, that's super helpful. And just lastly, quickly for Kunjal, you know, leverage is at 4.4 times at the end of second quarter. And I think, KP, going back to your earlier comments, you mentioned that the earnings are going to be second half weighted. So would it be fair to assume that the leverage by the end of the year should be lower, maybe closer to the lower end of your target?
Yeah, you are right. So basically, it would be in that range of around 4 times what we have always mentioned.
Okay, super. Well, congratulations again on a good quarter.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Puneet Gulati with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. And my first question is on the transmission side of the business. What do you see as a potential bidding pipeline for the second half of this year, and how aggressive are you likely to go in this phase?
So Puneet, probably we will not be able to give you a very precise number for bidding pipeline for second half, but in next 1 to 1.5 years, the projects which has been identified by CTU and the central government is of the order of 90,000 crore. There could be addition from few states as well, like Maharashtra. So yearly about 80 to 90,000 crore of bidding opportunity or pipeline will be there in a transmission.
Okay. And what share do you assume for yourself?
So currently we are operating about 25%, and we will like to continue to have that kind of market share.
Understood. And on the cooling side, how is the response so far, and where else do you see the opportunity?
So cooling, it is not only we spend a lot of time on creating market and awareness for the cooling solution, because so far it is not very known concept in Indian market.
Yeah.
We have been interacting with a lot of players, including sector federations and other players. We see now a lot of traction on a cooling side as well. In the last the first half, we could also get a LOI from two third party developers for developing district cooling plants. And we see a humongous potential as far as district cooling is concerned in India. So we'll continue to work on developing market and making aware about advantage of the having cooling, district cooling solution.
Understood. And lastly, if you can talk about any updates on the UP side on privatization of DISCOM, what are the dates likely and how big is the opportunity you see for yourself?
So there is no specific update from the UP side, but they continue to mention that they will come out with RFP very soon. So we are eagerly waiting for that. We believe that they had a few conversations with the Regulatory Commission. They had certain queries and suggestions. So probably they are incorporating it, and then they will come out with RFP.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Nikhil Nigania with Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is on the distribution side. Good to hear an update on the parallel licensee bit. But now that the draft electricity regulatory changes are out, wanted to hear your thoughts on how do you see this space evolve going forward in terms of new opportunity for AESL in distribution.
So, Nikhil, the new draft also says, and clearly the intent of government is there that they wanted to increase private sector participation in distribution. They are in fact further proposing to provide enabling provision for second license. In fact, the current legal provision says that you have to create your own network when you become a second license. The DAP amendment proposed that the second license, new licensee can use existing distribution network of the existing licensee as well. So it is clearly a good sign for the distribution sector, and it will create a lot of opportunity for private sector players.
Got it. Understood. So in a way, is it fair to assume it could open up opportunities for you to enter new cities without having to deploy your own capex?
So, Nikhil, our view is a little different. We might not use existing network of a distribution company because we believe that the major differentiation between you and the incumbent distribution company would be reliability of supply and quality of services. Now, the moment you ride on the existing network, probably you might not be able to differentiate on those two aspects. So we might go ahead with our own network as it is provided in the current regulation.
Understood. Very clear. My second set of questions on the transmission side. AESL has been winning quite a fair bit recently, especially in the HVDC projects. What would you say is the reason for that? Is it just that the competitors' hands are full, or is there something else which is the reason? And secondly, on transmission, you highlighted right-of-way as a challenge, but the March regulations were expected to ease that with higher compensation for right-of-way, but has that not been the trend? So these were two questions I had on transmission.
So to answer your first question, probably I may not be able to comment as to why Power Grid is not able to take, but I can certainly comment on why we are in a position to take. We have been able to establish that kind of relationship with those major OEMs, and the last particular project which was Khavda-Olpad. In fact, in this particular area, we are already doing four projects there. So we exactly know the terrain, the ROW challenges during in this particular area. That is the reason why we have been able to take this HVDC project through bidding.
Got it. And the second question, if you could answer as well, right of way, the reason things have not improved despite higher compensation norms.
So right of way, all the required legal framework is now in place. So after last year's policy intervention from Government of India, most of the state has notified their policy for right of way. Essentially, these policies are targeting to give a fair compensation to the landholder. To use those policy framework, you have to go through that process of getting order issues from collectors. That also involves public hearing, and sometimes that process takes time. So as I mentioned earlier in the call, what we do is we use both the route parallelly. We directly negotiate with the farmers, take a decision on the ground and immediately implement it. And also wherever we have a problem of ROW, then we use that route which is through collector and collector order compensation, and if the situation worsens, then we use that state machinery and police protection for ROW. But it's a basically a hybrid concept. We already don't depend on a one route because that could take a lot of time.
Makes sense. The last question I had was, there's this news on Adani Group's tie-up with Google for a data center. Any role you envisage for AESL also in this opportunity?
Rolling
the Google data center.
Probably we will have an opportunity for AESL in terms of providing energy solutions and timely connectivity, because like what we did last time as well for Microsoft, when they were developing a data center, we created connectivity in the infra for them. Similarly, we will also have an opportunity of creating infra for connectivity and also provide energy solution to data center, because they will certainly be very, very keen to have energy solution which is predominantly coming from a green power.
Got it. Thank you. Those are my questions. Thank you, Constantine.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Love Sharma with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, management. Thank you for the time. Just wanted to understand two things. I think you mentioned about the AEML's plan for the buybacks which you've done and the cash surplus you're running. If you could just give some broad numbers for AEML in terms of what is the debt outstanding currently, including any short-term debt which has been repaid or maybe increased. Or secondly, what kind of future buybacks we can think of on that line. And second question would be on the CapEx side. If you could just update for second half, what is the target across the different businesses?
Sure. So on the AEML debt position, so that company continues to deliver it. Last quarter, we did $44 million of bond buyback of the GMTN bond. Earlier, we did close to $49.5 million bond buyback in Q1 of the 2030 we did. And earlier, if you recall, we had done $120 million of bond buyback. So based on that, whatever surplus that company is generating, we would continue to go down that path of continuing to do the bond buybacks in AEML. Plus, you would notice that whatever short-term working capital also AEML had, so we had carried about 400 odd crores of short-term loan in AEML, that also got paid down during the first half year. So that business will continue to deliver based on whatever surplus that AEML has. On the CapEx front, that company has roughly around 1,600 odd crores of CapEx planned, of which 575 has been incurred during first half, and roughly around 1,000 would get incurred during the second half. Generally, you would know is that it is always lopsided in the second half because the first three or four months, that is June, July, August, are predominantly monsoon months where the capex is not done during. So it's lopsided in the second half. So 1,600 would be the estimated capex for the full year.
For distribution AEML.
Yeah, that's right. So Kunjal, this was only for distribution, right? How about for the AESL on console basis, maybe?
So total capex would be of the order of 17 to 18,000. 6,000 we have done. The breakup of 6,000 is 3,300 in transmission, 3,350. 700 odd crore in distribution and 2,000 odd crore in smart metering. For the full year, we will do about 11,400-500 in transmission, 1,600 in distribution and 4,000 in smart metering. So in smart metering, we'll add about 2,000. In distribution, we'll add about 1,100 in the second quarter. And in transmission, we will add about 8,000 in the second quarter.
Understood. Thank you, sir. Okay, so this is very useful. And one last question from me was, I think on the dollar bond side, we have this maturity coming up next year for the transmission 2026 bonds. Any thoughts currently of how are you planning to take care of that refinancing?
Yeah, yeah. So we are working towards it. And basically, we would like to refinance it. I mean, there are various sources. It could be both a mix of dollar bonds or it could be a mix of rupee bonds. But we would refinance it much ahead of its maturity.
Okay. No, thanks, Kunjal. In terms of pricing, could you indicate for if we have to go for INR pricing, what kind of pricing you see currently for those assets?
So, as you know, these are AA plus rated in the Indian market. So, accordingly, it would get priced.
A rough idea, roughly, maybe around, should we think of 8%, 9%-ish INR terms?
Yeah, basically currently if you look at it, AA plus or AAA bonds are generally priced sub 8. So in that region, it would get priced.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Vishal Piraiya with Pandan AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi. A couple of questions. One is on the status of license at Navi Mumbai, because the public hearing was done and all the formalities were completed by NERC. So what is holding it back?
Can you be a bit louder? I couldn't hear you.
Yeah. Sorry, my question was on Navi Mumbai license area. The formalities by NERC, it seems, were completed in terms of public hearing and others. So what is holding back the license? Is there anything else that is pending?
Processing.
So now they have to issue the matter was closed for order. So now they have to issue an order against our application.
Okay. And what is the kind of capex that you foresee in this license area over the next few years once you get the license?
Sorry, capex for Navi Mumbai?
Yes, sir.
So we will have a capex of about 10,000 crore for Navi Mumbai entire area, which will span over about 5 years.
Okay. Okay. 2,000 crores per year will be the capex there, only in Navi Mumbai.
Correct.
Per year. Okay. Okay. But that seems to be substantially higher, right? I mean, Mumbai capex itself is about 1,600 crores, though you will have to put out the network fully there, which is not here. But is there, I mean, what is the industrial?
So the density there is little lower as compared to Mumbai. And the second is because we will have to fulfill that universal service obligation, what we have proposed is that we will bifurcate the entire area into 25 circles. And once we start investing into that circle, we will fully deploy network in that entire circle. So every customer will have access to our network in that particular area. Once we achieve the universal service in that entire circle, we will migrate to the second one. So therefore, the speed will be lower, but it is essential to ensure that universal service obligation is achieved circle-wise.
So what will be the mix of industrial and commercial customers here, approximately?
So the commercial and industrial consumption there in Navi Mumbai currently is of the in excess of 50%. The rest is from small LT commercials and residential customers.
Okay, okay. And on the transmission side, what will be the kind of project that you plan to commission this year, and what will be the addition to gross block that we should see in addition to the three projects that you've done in the first quarter for the balance 6 months? What should we see? Thank you.
So in the next half, we will capitalize about 10,000 crore of capex. So at least we will commission three projects. We are trying to get fourth project also commissioned in the next quarter, but we'll at least commission three projects, and that will add revenue of about
17 to 1800 crore.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Dhruv Muchal with HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thank you so much. Sir, in the opening comments, you mentioned that the capex, capex or capitalization this year will be about 17,000-18,000 and revenue run rate of that or EBITDA run rate of that will be about 2,800. So this is the capex number probably that gets capitalized over the next 2 years and then the revenue run rate, then the EBITDA run rate will be realized. What you capitalize this year, the EBITDA run rate for that would be how much, sir?
So this year we will capitalize in transmission projects close to around 15,000 odd crores, which will translate to additional tariff of in the range of 1,800 or 1,900 odd crores, which is only in transmission business. Similarly, in case of AEML or distribution business, I mean, there is no outlet of capex. Whatever incurred capex is the capitalization. So 1,500, 1,600 odd of capex will translate into a tariff or revenue of around 250 to 275 odd crores. And smart meter, based on its capex, will give 800 odd crores of additional revenues.
EBITDA.
So that itself would translate, I mean, 1,800, 1,900 for transmission, 250, 230 for distribution, 800 for smart meters will give 2,800 to 3,000 odd crores of earnings from the 17,000 odd of capitalization that we will do in each of these years.
And Dhruv, just to clarify, in that 1,800 crore transmission number, we already commissioned projects,
commissioned three projects,
230 odd crores. So in total, 2,100 odd crores in transmission.
This was excluding. Okay, perfect. Got it. So the second question was on the capex in the transmission business. So for the full year, you're expecting about 10,000 odd crores, 11,000 odd crores capex. First half, you have done about 3,000. So that's about 7,000 for the remaining 2H. This is versus...
So first half was about 3,300.
3,300.
And in next half, we will do capex of about
7,000, 8,000.
Yeah. And in terms of capitalization, we did about 2,295 crores of capitalization in the first half. And in the second, we will do capitalization of about 12,000.
Yeah. So the capex is a significant increase. So for the second half, you will do about 7,000-8,000 crores in transmission capex versus last year, second half, you had done about 4,000 crores. So that's a significant jump in the capex run rate. And if I see 1H versus this year versus 1H last year, the jump is not as, you know, as strong. So just trying to understand, you know, what's driving this. Is 1H this year was weak because of monsoon and, I don't know, right-of-way issues, and you expect the things to resolve in the next second half. So just trying to understand what drives the confidence that this capex run rate can be achieved.
So this year you must have noted that we have started another four projects where now so all the approvals and other things are in place. So now you will see a lot of capex deployment in those newly started projects, and we will also continue to do capex in the project which are already under construction, which are getting commission in the second half or in the first half of the next year. So because the number of project has increased, and those projects will start see the fresh infection infusion of capex, and therefore you see that number increasing significantly in second half.
Got it. So basically, the momentum on projects is picking up, and hence which is driving the capex also, the improvement in the capex. And the other question was on probably a bit macro, but just trying to understand. So we are seeing broader electricity demand in India remaining very weak. For example, in October, the demand is at an India level, a month-to-date basis, is down by about 5-odd percent. And this includes the Diwali period also. Because you operate a lot of discoms, on ground level, what are you seeing? Is it just purely weather? Is it, I don't know. I'm just trying to understand what's driving such weakness in demand.
So in our view, the demand sluggishness this year is only because of the rain, which has not only widespread across the country, but the rain started from May and it is still continuing. In fact, it was raining in the western India yesterday and today. And you must have seen that prediction of cyclone on the east coast. So the demand sluggishness in the country current year is only because of rain.
Mm-hmm. So even in Bombay, for example, probably it's a bit difficult to digress, but say, for example, if they're commercial customers, I'm assuming they will not be as impacted by the season, or the demand trend is reasonably okay versus, say, for example, if you differentiate between domestic customers and commercial.
So Mumbai in last couple of years, we see demand growth of the order of 5.5 to 6%. This year, you must have seen the number, the increase is only 2%. And that was only because of the weather.
Weather, got it, perfect. Well, this is helpful. And so last question, you mentioned about the data center that the group has signed and you can play a role in that. So is it, can you quantify what is the monetizable opportunity for us here for this? Because what we hear is globally large capex numbers. So just wanted to understand what role can we play and what monetizable opportunity can we have?
It's too early to put a number to any opportunity for that Google contract, which is there in data center. I mean, as we earlier mentioned, whatever demand would be there for transmission or substation requirement for that would be fulfilled by EESL. But currently, it's very early for us to put anything.
Got it. Sure. Okay. Great, sir. Thank you so much and all the best. Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Mahesh Patil with ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So my first question is on the smart meters. So out of the 73 lakh smart meters installed, how much smart meter quantity has been commissioned, the meters that have achieved operational go live?
So out of 73 lakh meters which have been installed, the meter months which have been billed are 279 lakh meters which have been billed for this first half.
No, but what are the number of meters commissioned?
67 have been commissioned, fully commissioned.
So Manish, what happens when you install the smart meter, you also have to then offer for a testing to distribution company. That usually happens every month. So you will see a difference of meter installed and commissioned of the order of installation equivalent to 1 month.
Okay, got it. And so my second question is on the status of this Bhadla Fatehpur HVDC project that we had won. If you can share some insights as to what the progress there.
So the reverse bidding concluded, we were declared lowest bidder. Now PFC has to run their process.
Sorry to interrupt, I am asking about Bhadla Fatehpur, the previous HVDC project.
Okay.
We have won and now we are in.
So the Bhadla Fatehpur, we already got that SPV, LOI, we have finalized all the contracts. In fact, the construction work has already begun at Bhadla land. We will also start transmission line erection activity in the next month itself.
Okay. Okay, sir. And so my last question, given the kind of capex that we are planning, is there any plan for a fundraise in the near future?
No, there is no such plans of any fundraise except for whatever debt which we have to take for the projects which we are under construction.
And probably refinance.
And of course, refinance.
Okay, sir. Got it. Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Srinidhi with Ask Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. A couple of questions on smart meter. So given high profitability in the business and accounting standards, would it be possible to share cash, post-tax cash profit that we will be making per meter per month? And the second question is, sir, across the entire portfolio, what sort of unlevered IRR you are likely to make?
Sure. So, based on the current tariff profile that our smart meter portfolio has, our current revenue per meter per month is in the range of about 105 to 109 rupees per meter per month. That portfolio gives us close to around 80 to 85% EBITDA margins. So based on that, based on our current meters that we have installed, we have reported an EBITDA of around 243 crores and EBIT of 120 crores for this half year. So that's this thing. And basis the current EBITDA margins and basis the capital deployment in that smart meters, our internal returns are upwards of 20-25% on an levered basis or probably on an unlevered basis.
Okay. So unlevered also 20-25%?
Correct.
Those are my questions. Thank you for answering them. And all the very best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kunjal Mehta for closing comments.
Sure. No, I would thank each one of you to taking out the time for attending this call. In case of any clarification that you need, we are just a phone call away or an email away. Thank you once again for taking out the time.
Thank you. On behalf of Adani Energy Solutions, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.